Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So some of you may be wondering why we are reading the Beatitudes on All Saints Day. And hopefully by the end of my message, you'll have a satisfactory answer. But I want to thank Betsy for her reading this morning. It was all very clear and the diction was spot on, and hopefully you were listening to what she was saying. Because the Luke's version of the Sermon on the Plain is of a piece with his larger gospel. And we may not think about Luke as being some kind of long-haired hippie, a troublemaker, but he is. If you look back at the Magnificat, Mary praises God, and she also lashes out at those who are full of themselves, who are living off other people's work. And I'm not saying she's a Marxist, I'm not saying she endorses any political platforms, but Luke's gospel is asking us to look at our position and where we are in society and what we're doing with ourselves. So I'm gonna seem to be going a little bit off message right now, but I presume because you're here, you have a belief that God blesses us. And we pray every week, and we seek God's blessings on ourselves, on our families, on our friends, and our community. The flip side of that, though, is if we believe in blessings, do we believe in curses? Now, that's a loaded word, because curses may well be associated with the Lord of the Rings and other fictional narratives that involve wizards and people who are calling down dark forces on others. But curses are real. They're here in Scripture. Now, I presume that nobody here is calling down curses on those people they don't like. And I presume that you know, we'll be honest with ourselves. When we think about people being cursed, we pretty much think about the people we don't like, them, the others. But there is something here about the curses and what we think of ourselves and what we're asking from God. And if we look at the Beatitudes this morning and we look at the blessings that are asked for, we might pause when we look at the woes. So I don't know what anybody's bank account has in it, but I presume that everybody here is able to pay their bills in some way, is able to put food on their tables, does not think of themselves as being poor. That doesn't mean you're rich, but you're not poor. Who do you identify with in the Beatitudes? We all like to be blessed. We all want to think that we're receiving approval. And many of us contribute to charities. We work with the church and other organizations in the Upper Valley to combat the privations of poverty on our neighbors. We think about the poor. But do we identify with them? Do we see them as our brothers and sisters? That is the question that is being put to us. How do we see ourselves? What stories do we tell about ourselves? What lies do we tell to ourselves? So organizations and institutions have a really good track record of telling good stories about themselves. And they will often try to avoid those things that don't reflect well on them. Not all of them. And those that do look at some of the darker parts of their history shouldn't be doing so because they're looking for a pat on the back. or for someone to say, good job. But if we are to try to build, or help to build, the kingdom of God here on earth, we need to face our histories and look at our backgrounds. And as many of you know, I went to Harvard Divinity School, and I prized my affiliation with Harvard. I got 2 degrees there, and I worked there for many years. I met a lot of really great people there, had a lot of really great colleagues, and met a lot of really great alumni. Harvard has its issues. And you know, I can say this up here in Dartmouth country, Harvard has its issues, but so does Dartmouth. So does Yale. So does Cornell. And I go through the list of colleges from beginning to end, and I can talk about the issues they're dealing with. But it's the old places like Harvard that have been around the longest that have the most to answer for. And recently, Harvard published a report called The Legacy of Slavery at Harvard, which was a really big deal. It had been, the effort had been organized by the president of Harvard to look into all of Harvard's ties with slavery in the past. And you might be thinking, well, Harvard's in Massachusetts. What ties with slavery would they have? Ole Miss can do this. Harvard doesn't need to. But Harvard found that its ties to the institution of slavery were there. They were real. And those of us who've had the benefit of going to Harvard benefited from that legacy. I think it was Einstein who said the most powerful force in nature is compound interest. Harvard's benefited from a lot of compound interest over the years. And some of the endowments that were set up at Harvard were set up by people who were engaged in the slave trade. So the university's looked through its history, it's looked through establishments at the institution, and it's, again, it's published this book and this report, and they're trying to figure out what to do next. So one of the things the university did was set aside a few $100 million to work with historically black colleges and universities to help them develop programs and to try to build partnerships. That's all good, but it's not enough. The fact is, Harvard also had complicated relations with Native Americans. And, you know, I can call Dartmouth in this case because Dartmouth's got a much deeper tie to this community. And Dartmouth, to its credit, has worked to make things right. But we may say, what does it have to do with us? I wasn't around back in those days. I didn't do those things. Well, the past matters. And I'm not saying that we are shaped by our past. We're not defined by our pasts. But we can redeem our pasts and try to build a different future. So as we look at the Beatitudes, and we think about who is blessed and who is essentially cursed, we need to ask, what category do we fall into? And I'm not going to say we're all cursed. I'm not saying that. But there is a certain honesty that is required of us, that we're called to, if we are going to be followers of Jesus. So one of the things that really struck me, I was at Alumni Day at the Divinity School last week, is we heard from the Director of Ministry Studies, who is, now that I'm getting older, I can say a young black Pentecostal preacher. Very different from the fellow who served in that role when I was at Divinity School. But he was really articulate and passionate. And one of the things he talked about was how we need to know who we are, to recognize who our brothers and sisters are, and to act on that. And one of the things he does is work with the Divinity School's program on diversity, inclusion, and belonging. And that's important because our community is not made up just of people who look like us, or who dress like us, or who talk like us. God did not decide to just make one kind of person. Look around you. Each person here is an image bearer of God. Male and female, black and white, all of us, young and old, all of us reflect God. And I am not going to try to claim that I know what God was thinking, but I will say that God must have had a reason for making us the way God did. Think about that. God put us on this earth, and God put us in different places on the earth, and we can go into discussions about biology and environment and all the things that contribute to us being who we are. But that is the reality of God's creation. And as we're thinking about the saints on All Saints Day, one of the things we need to do is think again about those stories we tell. And we've had a lot of saints in this congregation over the last couple of hundred years. Good women and men who did the Lord's work. And those are the people we love to talk about and think about when we reflect on First Congregational Church. But the truth is, not every person who came to this church over the years was perfect. And what was true in the past is true in the present. But all of us are children of God. And I know that sounds like a mantra I'm repeating to you, but it's important for us to recognize that we are all children of God. So in a little while, we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And a question was posed to me by a person who'd heard the question from another person who asked, is the blood of Jesus in the communion cups that we're sharing today? No, I don't believe in transubstantiation. Our church does not preach transubstantiation. The elements do not become converted into the body and blood of Christ. And if you think God's working through miracles, I sure would like to think that God can do better than making little prepackaged servings of communion that frankly do not taste very good and don't eat well. But the symbolism is so important. We think about what Jesus did at the table. We think about what he shared. And Jesus wasn't inviting us to engage in some kind of cannibalistic ceremony. But we were being invited to join Jesus and the other faithful at the table. To remember what Jesus did for us during Jesus' life. And to respond with love and grace and service. So I'm looking forward to the day that we're going to be able to return to doing communion the old way. We're not there yet. But my hope is that you will still be fed by the juice and the bread in the communion cup today. And that you reflect on that gift from Jesus, and you reflect on the Beatitudes, and you reflect on All Saints Day and the people who came before us. And we should be mindful about what people in the future say about us. But it would be nice to think that the future generations of First Congregational Church will say that the people who were here in the early 21st century were saints. I hope as our successors will say that we worshiped and we sang and we served with joy. And in doing so, we helped propagate the Christian message for the future. So I didn't tell you how to live like a saint. And I'm going to cop out and say, you need to figure that out yourselves. And maybe that sounds like too much. But I suspect if you sit and think about it, you'll come up with the right answer. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the Beatitudes and the other gifts of Scripture. We thank you for the service and witness of Jesus and all of the saints who have come before us, who are with us today, and will follow us in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.